Hello and welcome to Business Spotlight. Today I am joined by Richard Knox of Verloom. So, Richard, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm great, Mark. Thanks very much. How are you keeping yourself?
I am good, thank you very much. It's great to have you here today. So, thanks very much for joining in for this interview series that we've been doing. It's been fantastic. And first off, I'd just like to get to know a little about you, Richard, and tell us a little bit more about your business as well, please.
Yeah, sure. So I'm the CEO of Verloom and the founder. So our business is really centered around the kind of challenge of intermittency with renewables. So, as we kind of move away from hydrocarbons and produce electricity with renewables, it's not always windy, there's not always sun, etc. So, what we're doing is effectively helping stabilize that power and allowing the adoption of renewables. So, not just from a good perspective, but for sort of smaller niche applications to help us kind of build up the track record of that technology. So it's really about helping provide stable energy and integrating that with renewables. And so that's been the kind of passion behind setting up the company 10 years ago. And that's kind of what we're really kind of driving forward with.
Fantastic. Yeah, so been running the business for 10 years, and what with that industry then that you're in, what sort of challenges are being faced right now? Because it's ever changing and everything. So can you tell us a little bit about some of the challenges and changes that the industry is facing just now?
Yeah, I think originally everyone sort of for quite some time had been kind of looking for the silver bullet. What is the kind of changes from hydrocarbons to what is going to be the next kind of new kind of wave of technology that people are going to adopt? And I think the answer is all of them. It's not just one. So that's not necessarily how things have happened in the past. You've moved from coal, we've gone to oil, we've gone to gas, and then people have kind of assumed that there's going to be kind of one big thing that can substitute them all. And it's not really how it is. I mean, in terms of renewables, offshore wind is really dominated, but it's not the only answer. And also, it is a renewable source. So, I think kind of people have kind of struggled with that. But the one thing that we've found is that we knew that whatever it is going to be, if it's renewable, there's going to be some need to kind of manage it or store that energy. So that's kind of the approach that we've taken. But it is a really kind of dynamic situation, and whether that's going to be using that power for electricity or hydrogen, and how the whole kind of market's going to evolve, because effectively we're going through the kind of next industrial phase of next phase of industrial revolution, really, in terms of our whole electricity generation market. So it's a really exciting time, but the answers aren't obvious to everyone. So it's I guess that's some of the challenges that people are facing.
Again, 10 years in business, that you so you know. Let's move away from looking at the energy side of it. Let's maybe look at a little bit as a business owner then, So, what's been your biggest learning then as a business owner, Richard?
I mean, the cliche one is always about cash flow, but that's probably the obvious one that any kind of small business needs to consider. But it can't be overlooked. It is really important. But I think building a really good team around us, because it's not it's the people within the business that really kind of help make it. So we've when we kind of started the business, we had to we first looked at tidal energy, and that for that the reason for that was that it was predictable, so we thought that would be much easier to then couple with energy storage. But we really pivoted in 2017 to realizing that the kind of real core niche of what we're doing was around the power management and the storage system. So having that ability to kind of move the direction and the strategy of the business, and then from that point we've evolved to also not just kind of niche markets, but kind of the wider offshore wind market. So it's kind of been kind of flexible, I think, and you can't always predict everything that's going to happen, but if you've got a really good team around you that are flexible and dynamic, then that allows you to overcome whatever challenges do come up. So that's probably the one for me.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think a lot of business owners would say the exact same. It's important to have a good team around you. Was running your own business always part of a plan that you had? Did you always want to go into business for yourself?
Oh, not necessarily, no. I guess I always liked the idea of it. I worked originally in a, when I started out my career, the thing to do was go and work for a blue chip company. When I first graduated as an engineer, so I actually worked at Weir Pumps, and then I was AB Iveco Grey, which became GE Oil and Gas. So I was at the opposite end of the spectrum in a much more kind of large corporate environment. But then I did spend a small amount of time in a small R&D company. I really enjoyed it. So no, I wasn't necessarily ever planned to do that. But then I kind of got to the point of, well, if I don't do it, then who else is? I can't kind of wait around for, either kind of get up and kind of get on with things or you don't. So kind of don't know the best way of describing it. And then, but no, is the short answer. I really enjoy it, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't some part of the master plan. I will become a CEO and I will run a business. It wasn't like that. It was more around taking opportunities when they arose. And I guess part of it was, well, a large part of it really actually was that I kind of wanted to move into the renewable energy space. But at that time, when I was based in Aberdeen and I wanted to remain in Aberdeen, there wasn't the opportunities there, so I wanted to create my own. And that's where we got a lot of, I kind of personally, and then the business got a lot of support from Scottish Enterprise to get the whole thing up and running. So it was more an evolution rather than a master plan.
Excellent, excellent. So, what have you learned about yourself then, in that 10-year journey of being a business owner then?
I think to be myself, I think it's the one, because I mean, kind of during that period, I got a lot of support and a lot of training, and a lot of it is around kind of how you should act, how you should present yourself. And any time I did do that to the extreme, I think I ended up being, especially when it came to around looking at investment, it felt like I was just another. Became just a kind of cookie cutter startup, and I kind of lost a lot of the authenticity. And I think myself and all the kind of team here are really kind of passionate about what we're doing, and I think we lost some of that. So when I realized what was happening, I just kind of reverted back to being myself. Then it got on a lot better, because there's a way, the kind of very way of presenting yourself and how you do it, how you can, especially when you're pitching and things like that. And I got all that training. It just really didn't work for me, to be honest. So yeah, I mean, there's lots of good things in there about how you clearly communicate, businesses and values and financials, etc. But just in terms of how I behaved, there wasn't, it wasn't for me. So yeah, just try and be myself.
Absolutely. I think it's the best advice that could give to anyone is just be yourself, absolutely, absolutely. So that's been your biggest learning then about yourself then. Has there been ever been anyone who perhaps you went to for any advice, or was there anyone that inspired you, anyone who coached you and assisted or helped you during the last 10 years?
Oh yeah, I mean we've had a huge amount of support. I mean, there's the obvious one. So we had, when we had Scottish Enterprise, we were kind of moved to account management and put in the high growth startup unit. So we had great kind of coaching support there, from there's Roseanne and Gordon, and then all the way through to early board members, and then to kind of helped kind of coach. There was even actually before the company started, we were really lucky. Things like our IP lawyers, Thinking IP, they provided a lot of support for the businesses up and running, helping us kind of get helping basically me get the kind of IP in place that would allow us to be the foundation of the business. Our support from lawyers, probably the one that I was really kind of positive, is when we kind of first started engaging with sort of venture capital community that we have in Scotland. So I guess most people think of it as being a scary thing where people are, they're just out there to kind of make money out of you. But really, likes of Orchard Ventures, they were the first private investment funds that we received, and also Par Equity, they were, they've been brilliant in terms of, that obviously they're to make money out of investing in the business, but they go far beyond that, and I think they've done a lot to really kind of help support me, support the business, because our success is linked to their success. But the amount of kind of time these people spend to help support us, they're genuinely investing in businesses. I think that like ours that are trying to help towards a sustainable future, and obviously the money's been invested, but thanks to Par Equity is a syndicate of lots of people who want to invest in things that they're passionate about. So I've been, so I think my experience versus maybe what the kind of public persona of what these kind of organizations are is quite, it's been really positive. So that's been great. And then that's then just really help feed through. So we've kind of recently at the kind of start of the year had an investment for the Scottish National Investment Bank. And they've been brilliant as well, because not just only are they have got kind of key targets for Scotland in terms of energy transition, how we can move to a sustainable future, and really how there's a just transition. So in terms of helping, in terms of recruiting the next generation, and diversity within the workforce, and that's something which you don't I've kind of rarely seen, but very much aligned with what we were wanting to do. So that's been good. So I could be here for an hour telling you all the people have helped us, to be honest with you, because there has been just so much support, and that's something I was really kind of quite. If you told me 10 years ago that we get that level of help and assistance and support personally and as an organization, I would, probably wouldn't have believed you, but it has been the case.
That's excellent. That's amazing. Having a lot of good people around you is what you said earlier, And it's again, it sounds like over the last 10 years, you've surrounded yourself with some very good people who have helped you. Is there anyone or anything that perhaps inspires you today then, in any sort of way, in business or in energy?
Yeah, well, even I guess, so the kind of one of the things I'm really passionate about, I love doing is mountain biking. So like any time, not that I've got much spare time, but in the kind of small amounts of spare time I do, trying to get out on my bike. So there's Dan G and Rachel Arthur, so the three of them, the three siblings, they are world championship mountain bikers, but they've come into the kind of end of their riding careers. And they've set up Atherton bikes, so and that's all around kind of really additive manufacture, 3D printing effectively to make mountain bikes. And seeing them transition from being able to have a kind of sporting career and then move that on to building a whole kind of bike company and a brand's been really impressive in their kind of approach to, when you see some of the things that G does in terms of his approach to risk, and it's amazing. He puts his faith in terms of he's building the bike, and then he's doing ridiculous things, and he's just a ridiculously skilled person. But yeah, I find that quite a you get a lot of motivation seeing people kind of really believing in their product, and you can't get anything more from seeing what these three have been doing. And Rachel's a mum now as well, so and she's gone back and been able to win a World Cup off the back of still being away and having a child. So I think she provides a lot of inspiration for young women and things as well. So I think that's great.
Amazing, brilliant, brilliant. I always like to end the interview with the same question to everyone, and I suppose maybe this is something that you've been using to your siblings and who are starting up their new business then, is anyone who is starting out then in business in their new business venture, what is the first piece of advice or the main piece of advice that you would give them?
You really want you, when you do it, you really need to want to do it, and it needs to be something you're passionate about, because you have to give it 110, 120%, because it does become all encompassing, especially when you first start up. And it's the failure rate, I think it kind of varies, but something ridiculous like 90% of businesses will fail in the kind of first 2 years. So fortunately or unfortunately, I don't know which way you look at it, I didn't know that statistic when I started up. I was glad I got past that point. But yeah, it needs to be something you're really passionate about. Otherwise, it can't be just a seen as a job, because it kind of take over your whole life to a certain extent. And But you know, as the business evolves, you can that's not necessarily the case. But yeah, if you're not really committed to doing it, then it's going to be really hard to succeed. So, but if you do, and you are really passionate about something and you want to do it, then 100% go for it, because it can be one of the best things you'll ever do. So yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. Thank you very much, Richard.
No worries.
I thought that was a really great interview. So thank you very much for your time today. It's much appreciated.
Worries.
Excellent. Excellent. So thank you very much for watching, everyone. You'll be watching Business Spotlight. We'll see you again next time. Thank you.
Thanks.